You don't want to go. Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Atheism teaches us that there's no God, and therefore there's no heaven. So, what does that mean? There's no hope. Well, that's absolutely out of the Bible. Because the Bible gives us hope.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us of hope. So atheism cannot be right. Just simply because of that. It preaches against hope. Atheism in all of its pieces doesn't give you any hope. But the Word of God gives you hope today.
Amen.
Reincarnation teaches us that life will just somehow recycle and we'll end up being a higher being or a lower being and just exist for the next time around. Oh, God, have mercy. That would be horrible.
Amen.
That would be horrible. I'd hate to come back as a cat because there would be somebody just like me. Go learn what that means. I don't like cats. They just, cats are creepy, you know that? Even them domestic cats, they're creepy. They kind of sneak around and all of a sudden, poof, they're there. They're sneaky. Some of us would come back as a rat. And you'd have an opponent like me, and you'd be trying to build a family out there in the back 40, and trying to build a family, and this guy's always putting these little sticky traps out, and all these big traps go whack, killed 9 rats back there in the back. Man, they're big. The big ones.
Yeah,
they ain't no mice. They're bigger than my hand. We're in the neighbor's yard, and then they came down to my yard. So now both of us are fighting them, trying to kill them dudes. But can you imagine coming back as a rat, Brother Ben, and having me as an opponent? I'll leave that alone. The Bible offers us real hope, everybody. The Bible gives us real hope. Revelations 21 and 2 said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Oh, hallelujah. Seeing Jesus face to face someday is my reason, is my purpose for running this Christian race. But keep on enduring hardness as a good soldier. Just go ahead. Hey, man, it just made me think. We all been wounded. We all been shot. In the truck and drive. Amen. We just got to keep on keeping on. Amen. And because we've got a glorious hope. We've got something to look forward to today. There is one hope of your car. And then we go to one Lord. As we dissect that scripture there in Ephesians, one Lord. Neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament uses the word Trinity. You can't find it in your Bible. And I could go on a whole deal on the Council of Nicaea where it was changed in AD 325 and how they changed the formulas and everything. You can read it all over in history where they changed. There was no such thing as a Trinity.
Right.
Go study it out. There's no such thing as a Trinity. That was brought about from a council of men from the Catholic Church in the Council of Nicaea in AD 325.
That's right.
So there's no such thing as a Trinity. It's nowhere substantiated in the scripture. The words three or persons as plural in any significant way does it mean or talk about God. No passage says God is the Holy Trinity or the Holy Three or the Holy Two or the Holy 40 or whatever.
Right.
He said, there are more than 50 times he said, by myself.
Right.
By myself. Yeah. He's not in competition with anybody.
Right.
Amen. More than 50 times does he use the words of Holy One. Even more important, Holy One. 50 times.
More than 50 times he uses holy one, but not one time does it say holy two or holy three. Yes.
Right.
Holy Trinity. Never. It's not in there.
True.
It's not in there. Can't find it. Isaiah 47 and 4 said, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, his name, the Holy One. If you look there, it even says name. When it talks about his name, it's always name. It never says names.
Amen.
It doesn't use it in a pluralistic form. David prophetically spoke of Jesus using the term Holy One. He was quoted also by Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. But Paul said it in Acts chapter 13, in verse number 35. Wherefore, he saith also in another song, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 16 and 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. We got continuity from Old Testament to New Testament. Hang with me just a minute. Mark chapter 1, verse number 23. And there was in their synagogue a man of an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. The demons were saying to Jesus, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? And then the devil himself said, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God, the Holy One. I know who you are. Paul lets us to know that the Jesus we serve today is the same God who created everything that existed from the very beginning. Preaching to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14, in whom we have the redemption through his blood. Who do we have redemption through? Let's stop right there. We have redemption through his blood by who?
Jesus,
right?
Amen.
So we're talking about Jesus. I want to establish that. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who's who we get forgiveness of sins from?
Jesus.
So we're still talking about Jesus here, right? Verse 15, who is, look at this, who is the image of the invisible God. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
We're still talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Who is Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what he looks like? That's what he looks like. He looks like you and I. He got two legs. He got five toes. He got five fingers. He got a head. He got a body. When he said, create man in our own image. When you want to know what God looks like, he looks like us.
Amen.
He ain't something different.
Right.
He's got two legs. This is the image. And so the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him, who are we still talking about?
Jesus.
For by him were all things created. No, God the Father created all things.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. We're still talking about Jesus. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, both visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Look at this. It's still using him in a singular form. It doesn't say all things were created by them or for them. It was by him, singular form, always in a singular context. Hallelujah. All things are created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before. He, again, singular, is before all things. And by him, singular, all things consist. And he is the head. And he is the head of the body. Who's the head of the body?
Jesus
is the head of the body. It didn't say, and they are the council of the body, or they are the head of the body. It said, he, singular, again, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he, singular, might have preeminence.
Why
people get so, well, who do I pray to? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. You don't have to be confused about that. He said, Jesus even said, I and my Father are one. I am my Father. Why did Jesus say that? Because he wasn't confused about his identity. He wasn't having an identity crisis. He said, I and my Father are one. I am the image of the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. I am the Almighty. I do have preeminence. I am the master of the universe. Jesus had no problem with that. He wasn't feeling secondary. Say, well, why did I'm going to tell you? I want to give a plug nickel for a father that would send his son off to save somebody else. But there's something to be said for someone to say, "I'll pay the price."
That's right.
I'll pay it, and that's what he did. The Bible even talks about him robing himself in flesh and becoming a man. Why? Because he's going to pay the ultimate price. He ain't going to send somebody secondarily. He ain't going to do somebody else to do his own head. No. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to die. I'm going to become the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. I'm going to send somebody else to do it. I'm going to do it. Man, how awesome of a God that is. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness of all the fullness. Well, let me say this. So everybody goes back to Matthew 28:19. Well, what is it? What do you mean about that scripture when it says being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost. Are you a father? Okay, you're a father. Okay, come here, brother. Come here. Okay. This man's a father right now. Are you a husband?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. A husband. You're a husband before you're a father, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. So he's a husband, he's a father. What do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician.
You're an electrician. Hey, electrician, come here. I can say electrician, and you're kind of an electrician. Okay, I could say now. If I said, Father, I want you to stand right here. Now, what should everybody be doing? Hold on a second. I said, Father. All right. They're all fathers, right?
Right.
I said, husband, come here, husband, come here. There, y'all. See. Oh, everybody be coming. Are you your husband, right? Your father, right? Yeah, so what are you going to sit down? But you know what's peculiar about this? And you guys are getting this picture here. Each one of you may be a husband, may be a father. You have other titles. You're a grandpa. You ain't close. Come on now. You've got all these. You know what? Father, son. Are you all sons?
Yes.
Thank God you're not in a gender crisis either. Praise the Lord. That's good. No gender crisis here. So we've got some sons here. But they all have a name.
Yes.
They all, come on now. They all have a name. So when he said all the fullness and pleasing the Father, that all the fullness dwell in him, there's a name that is above every other name. That every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just because you're a son. Just because you're a father. Just because you're a husband. You still got a name. Thank you, brethren. There is a name that is above every other name. So when he preaches this, when he talks to us about this, he uses the word father. But father is just a title, folks.
Right.
It's just a title. Son is a title. Carpenter is a title. Grandpa's a title. These are all titles. But we got a name. We got a name. And that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. For Colossians 2:19 said, for in him, again, not them. It didn't say them, it said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the God. God what?
Head.
Singular. Anything with more than one head's a freak. Come on. Because really, he talks about this one body. You got one throne. So you got a three-headed God up there, or what?
No.
What's going on here? It's all messed up. And that's why that doesn't make any sense. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. bodily. The church is not built on quote unquote Peter being the rock, but the revelation that he had, the revelation of the oneness of God. It's the most powerful revelation in the scripture, because if there's only one God, then he deserves our total allegiance. He deserves our total and complete honor, respect, and everything we've got, even Jesus. And I know there's some that say, oh, well, you're one of those Jesus-only people. Yep, I'm one of them Jesus-only and everything. Jesus-only and everything. Jesus is everything. And it's a revelation that through the Word of God, you must get. Jesus called this the first and the greatest commandment. When he quoted the law of Moses, Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He said, this is something from the very, very beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Wow. This is the first, that you love that one God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with everything that's within you. Amen. And so it goes back again. We go back and we got one body.
Thank you.
We got one body, right? We got one spirit. We got one hope. We got one Lord. Now I left the word. It's all right here in the Bible. And we got a ton more scriptures that we can go to in all of that. One thing I really like to use, and I'll use it again right now. I could write out $1 million check, even though it wouldn't bounce. Let me write out $1,000 check. That one wouldn't bounce, okay? I could write you out $1,000 check. And to any one of you, any of you ladies, any of you ladies like $1,000?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll write it out to the daughter. I'm riding out to the daughter, and what? They look at you and go, "Is that your name? Can I see some ID?" Wait a second. Every one of us have got titles, and that check would do you no good if you don't have a name. You've got to have a name. It doesn't matter. And that's why you've got to have the name of Jesus Christ applied to your life in water baptism. And we're going to get to that one here in just a second. Because it says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And we're going to one faith right now. Quickly, quickly. Stay with me. Can you hang on for just a minute longer?
Yes.
One faith, the Bible said. Sometimes the Bible speaks simply of faith, but other times it speaks of the faith. And that's what's very important. A lot of times people don't consider that. They consider it to be a faith. Well, yeah, everybody has faith to a degree, but a lot of times the scripture talks about the faith, and it is specific. It's not just a generalized version of faith. It's not just indicating a individual belief, but it is the entire body of truth that we believe in Jesus Christ. So if I can take you through a few scriptures, and I'm just going to use portions of this for the sake of time. All right, Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul preached the faith which was the faith which was once destroyed. First Timothy 1:2 said Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. It was not just a generalized faith, but the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, you can depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 5:8, you can deny the faith. 1 Timothy 6:10, you can err from the faith. There's plenty of faith out there. There's plenty of faith out there. And that's the whole problem with our society and our Christendom world today, is there's a plethora plethora of things to choose from. If you don't like this, just go over here. If you don't like this, just go there. I think it was Oprah Winfrey who said this several years ago. It doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe in something, and everybody's going to be saved. Wrong answer. I don't care how much money you got, Oprah. I don't care who you are and who you think you are. You're wrong. You've got to have the truth of God's word.
That's right.
And you can't err from the faith. The faith. The faith. 2 Timothy 3:8. You can be a reprobate concerning the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. You can stand fast in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says to examine yourself whether you are in the faith.
Amen.
Wow. And it's not just talking in a general faith. But the Bible even encourages you and I to examine ourselves. How do you examine yourself? How does anybody examine yourself? I look in the mirror. I want to see if I got a booger hanging out of my nose.
I want to see if I shave right, if I missed a spot. I want to see if I don't have some wild hair hanging out. I'm just being real. That's how I examine myself. I look in the mirror. How do we examine ourselves? We look into the Word of God. Whoa. I do got a booger. I got your attention back now, at least. I do got something wrong. I got something I got to fix. I got something I got to change.
I can't live like that. I can't act. I can't look. I can't. There are certain things about the Word of God that I've got to be able to do. So the Bible tells me to examine myself.
Examine. This is the Word of God. This is my mirror. The Bible even tells us that that's our mirror.
Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Ephesians 4:13. Come to the unity. Oh, there's that beautiful word again. The unity of the faith.
Preaching against anybody. I'm preaching for the Word of God. I'm preaching what the Word of God.
Come to the unity of the faith. I don't care what the sign says. I don't care what denominational card somebody holds in their pocket. It doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? Hey, I want to know what the Word says. Not what somebody thinks. Not what somebody's idea is. Colossians 1:23 said, be grounded and settled in the faith. Colossians 2:17 said, be established in the faith. Titus 1:13 said, be sound in the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, keep the faith. And then Jude 1:3 said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Fight for it. Fight for the faith. Have something inside you that says, I want the truth of God's word. Now, when you want the truth, sometimes you're going to have to suck it up and go, ooh, that was a little bit deep for me.
Yeah.
But I want the truth. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want somebody just to feed me a bunch of hip jibs. I want to know, what does that Bible say? That Bible said there is a truth. There is the faith. There is one faith. There is one body. There is one spirit. There is one hope. There is one love. There is one faith. There is one. I know we're living in a religious society that just says, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever feels good, so on and so forth. I don't want that. That's exactly what the Bible said. There'll be teachers having itching ears. There'll be a desire to please everybody and to make everybody feel good. They'll say certain things.
That's right.
They'll do certain things just so everybody's happy. Oh, make me uncomfortable. Because I want to be saved.
That's right.
If there's something I'm doing wrong, get me to do it right. Don't let me believe that 7 + 3 is, what is it?
10.
Oh, I thought it was 11.
You said that, you may think that's kind of funny, but that's what I had a problem with in school all my life. I always said 7 + 3 was 11. And I'd argue with my teachers until I was blue in the face. Because for some reason in my mind, it was 11.
Let's try it.
Yeah. You know, it still didn't change the fact it's 10. The fact of the matter is no matter how many times I want to believe
come on now,
that it's 11.
Come on now.
No matter how hard my brain, for some reason, it was me. Nobody, and you all know that.
I mean, all of you, I imagine nobody else had that problem with me.
But my brain always would compute, and I would always get anything with that combination. I would get it wrong in a mathematical equation. Always get it wrong. But that didn't change the fact. The fact of the matter is, it's 10, and it will always remain 10. And the truth will always remain the truth. No matter what I think, no matter how I feel, no matter my understanding isn't exactly where it should be or whatever and whatever. And that's why we've got to pray that the Spirit of God would open our understanding, would give us revelation, would open our eyes to the truth of God's Word. What you believe.
Amen.
Not everyone, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being hateful in no stretch of the imagination. I want everybody to be saved.
Amen.
And that's why I'm preaching on this oneness deal. Not everyone is going to heaven. Not every church, if you will, is right. And that's why people are struggling so bad today. And they got so much going on and frustration going on in their life because they hear this and they hear that and they hear this and they hear that. And I want to stop and I want to say, hold on a second. You don't even have to think about what I personally am saying. Let's see what the Word of God says.
That's
and
right.
If the Word of God says this.
That's right.
If the Word of God says this, then let's go with this.
Right.
It doesn't matter if that guy makes $1 million and has a church of 15,000 people. It doesn't mean that he's right.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that this guy is right or he that has just 5 people. We're not talking about the individual. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? That's why the Bible did say, save yourself. It didn't say you save your own self, but it says save your own self in this light that you've got to know what that Bible said. You've got to understand it is your responsibility.
Amen.
It's your responsibility.
Right.
It's a responsibility you have to see yourself saved. All right. One baptism. Baptism is not an option. There is no such thing in the Bible as a Christian who is not baptized. It's not in there. John 3:5 said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. If you're not willing to be baptized the Bible way, you can't get into the kingdom. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says that there is only one baptism. So if there's only one way to get baptized, then what is that way? Well, there's a mode, and that mode of baptism is by immersion. Some people say, well, if Jesus was without sin, why did he get baptized? I won't tell you the reason why that he got baptized, because he is a fact.